Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Call Waiting. It's me, your friend, Robin Shawl. Hope you're all doing well. I'm really excited for today's episode. The topic is my parents are so overprotective, or my parents were so overprotective, because I feel like a lot of these stories are going to be taking place in the past, as many of you do not live with your parents anymore. And I'm really excited to hear your stories. I have a story of my own, but before I do, let's do some cleanup, some housekeeping, whatever the phrase is. I am going on tour, which I'm so excited about. I hope you guys could come out and see the Robin Shawl Experience. It is called the Robin Shawl Experience because it is exactly that. It is an experience. There is comedy. There's videos. There's you guys, some of you come on stage. There's games. There's dancing. It is, I can't, people are like, but can you explain it? I'm like, it's a Robin Shawl Experience. You want to live my life or the chaos of my brain? Come to a show. You'll laugh. You'll have a great time. Bring some friends. Bring your relatives. They don't need to follow me. They'll, within minutes, get caught up and have a great time. For tickets, go to robinshawl.com. I'm going to Minneapolis, Kansas City, Dallas, Houston, Miami, Boston, and Atlantic City. So that's tickets at robinshawl.com. Okay, now, my parents are overprotective. Not me. My parents didn't even care about me. What happened was, I'm the third child. And I think what happens, and we'll figure this out as calls start coming in, but I think what happens is parents get less strict the more kids they have. So when my parents had their first child, which is my oldest brother, CIA, they were much more strict with him. Now, let me just say my parents were not strict at all, even with him, but he had a bedtime. He had a curfew. They were like on top of his schoolwork, right? And then security came along. And security's, okay, so let's say CIA had to go to bed at 8 o'clock when he was 10, right? When security came along, so it was like 8 o'clock, then security was 10 o'clock. And then when I came along, I didn't have a bedtime. Or CIA's curfew, when he went out with friends, he had to be home by 10. When security went out, he had to be home by midnight. And then when I went out, I didn't have a curfew. So it was just, they got less and less strict as each kid. So with me, they really didn't care. I was running loose. I was running the town, you know? But they pick and choose random moments of time to be very strict, even though they're not strict, but like they'll pull it out of nowhere. So one time I was in high school, I think I was in 11th grade, and my friend Alana picks me up. She was 2 years older than me. I don't know, maybe around 9 o'clock, and we go out. Now I didn't have a curfew. I didn't have a time. I had to be home. Usually my mom would say, call before 2 to let me know where you are. And I'm like, okay, right? Now, this is before, like, I had a cell phone, but I don't think it was, like, did I have a cell phone? I don't even remember. Maybe, but I don't think, like, you turned it on. Like, it wasn't, like, a normal cell phone. This was 1905. I don't know when this was, but do the math. I was born in 84, and I was 16 or 17. Okay. So, I go out, right? And now, it's 11:30. 11:30, no need for concern. Well, all of a sudden, my mom decided I should have been home at that time. So what does she do? She finds out Alana's parents' house line and calls Alana's mom and says, do you know where my daughter is? She went out with your daughter. And Alana's mom was like, oh yeah, I think they went out, but I don't know where. And then and Alana's mom's like, but I think they also went out with Amy. So then my mom finds, she goes, do you know Amy's mother's phone number? And so Alana's mom, you know, they all know each other. So then my mom calls Amy's mom, and Amy's mom's like, no, she's not with us. With Amy's home. Do you have Dana's parents' phone number? So then my parents called Dana's, and then my mom called Jen's, and they started calling every single friend I had ever had from like birth until 16. And like, she's ready to call call the cops. I come home at 12:02. She's standing on the lawn, okay? Like pacing back and forth. Alana pulls up and I'm like, Mom, what are you doing outside? She goes, do you know what time it is? I'm like, no, what time is it? She's like, it's 12:05. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, what time's your curfew? I was like, I don't have a curfew, Mom. She's like, get inside. You're grounded. And I was so embarrassed. Like now I don't care. Like now she can't. She's like, oh, whatever. But back then I was so embarrassed. Alana was 2 years older than me. She was like my cool friend. And not only did she yell at me in front of Alana, she called Alana's mom and she called Dana's mom and Jess's mom. And I was so mad and I kept saying to her, I never had a curfew. Why tonight out of all nights? And I don't even think she ever answered me. And then she went back to not caring. Like that was it. That was it. She never cared ever again. So my point is my mother is not overprotective, but random moments in time she is. And my dad is really not overprotective, but he will probably never accept the fact that I'm an adult that dates men. Like, I just think, like, I could have a boyfriend for 5-7 years, and he is convinced they are my friend. You know, like, I remember I was dating this guy for 2 years, and I said, Dad, you know, blah, blah's parents want to invite you over for Christmas so the families can meet. And he goes, well, I mean, you know, that's for someone who's like in a relationship. I'm like, Dad, I live with this guy. Like, so all I'm saying is strict, no, but they're both a little, you know, eccentric. All right. Well, let's bring security in and see if he has a similar vision of my parents as I do.
I just have, well, first off, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you? I have one question.
Why are you so happy today?
Because I'm listening to the story.
Yeah.
Now, you pulled up at 12:02.
Yeah.
And then when Mom yelled at you on the lawn, it was 12:05. It took 3 minutes
to make
from the car to the lawn?
Security. Do you think the listeners are sitting there going, Robin's math is not adding up? And this is why we don't let men listen to this podcast. This is why we have a quota. We only allow 20 men to listen to this podcast so that we can keep complaints under 20 per episode. Okay. Yeah.
But no, I the midnight thing is for me, it was midnight and I had to at least call and let them know, hey, I'm still out or I'm home. Like it was...
Yeah, we didn't have strict, but they were definitely...
But it was random. It was random. It was always... Sometimes like at 11:45, I'd call saying, I'm going to be out past... It doesn't matter. Come home now. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Because they didn't have many rules, we were pretty good kids. We listened to them.
Yeah. When they said, okay, come home now.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were, I think, but do you agree they got less strict as the kids went on?
Yes. If they had a fourth, like...
They did.
Wait, what? They haven't come home from
curfews. I feel like CIA definitely could not go be out late.
No.
And I feel like maybe that's why, not that he's smarter than us, but he definitely got better grades. And I bet you it's because Mom and Dad made him study.
Yeah.
And then, well, also you just didn't do well.
Study? Wait, what's that word?
I feel grateful. I feel like I had such an easy pass because you didn't do well in school. So then...
I'm so glad you're just telling everyone.
Because now we're even for the complaint. Oh, my goodness.
3 minutes to get to the lawn?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, thank you for your...
No problem.
I had a really good idea.
Yeah.
It's actually not a good idea. Actually, as I just thought this idea, I already regret this idea.
Now you gotta say it.
What if we did an entire episode of end segments?
I love it. I love it. I could hear people cheering right now.
Your one fan.
My one fan cheering.
My mom throwing the desk. Like, no. Okay, well, one day we'll do that.
All right, sounds cool.
But like... So you're just going to do random games? I don't even know how that would work.
Yeah, and I'll throw in some, I don't know, a science experiment for you.
Okay, all right. Start planning it.
I will,
okay.
I will.
Okay. I'm sorry, guys. You could take that week off. All right, I'm ready to open up the lines.
Okay.
Let's see what people are going to say about their overprotective parents.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, Robin, we have Minette on the line.
Hi, Minette.
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to Call Waiting. Today's episode is overprotective parents. So what do you have for us? Paint us a picture.
So I was born here in the States. My parents were born in Cuba, so I'm Cuban American, and they were old fashioned. So they believed that their daughter should be chaperoned everywhere and anywhere that she would go. So, even like through high school, okay, I could handle it because other Cuban moms did it. But in college, we would go out dancing to a place that was called like the bomb squadron over by the airport. And my mother and another mom would sit and watch us dance and drink water while we were dancing. And I was,
in college.
Yes. So I would go out dancing and with the other girls, and my mom and this other mom would sit there and they would drink water. But it gets worse. So I meet my future husband, and they decide that I can't go out with him by myself. At this time, I was about 19 and a half. I wasn't allowed to go out by myself. So I either had to go out with her on our dates. So she would sit in the back seat, and wherever we went, my mom would go. Or I would have to go out with like a cousin or an annoying little cousin or something. So I would do that the whole time. I worked, so I would always get away a little bit. Little did she know. I'm sorry, Mom. May you rest in peace. But I would sneak away. So he proposes we're going to get married. And the whole time we're getting ready for the wedding or whatever, my mother's going everywhere with us. The night before the wedding, we had to go to the church to do the rehearsal. And I said to her, Mom, I'm getting married tomorrow. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? I get pregnant tonight. She said, and, you know, in Spanish, it's a little more, you know, there's more emphasis. But she's like, what would people say? Mom, nobody would know if I got pregnant the night before I'm getting married. She said, I don't care. People will see you arrive at the church by yourself, and your reputation would be ruined. Little did she know my reputation was already ruined, but your reputation would be ruined. So I had to show up at my wedding rehearsal with my mother in the back seat.
Was your husband scared that she was going to be a part of the marriage too? Like, was that
he's my ex-husband.
Okay.
He's my ex-husband number one. I'm on husband number three. But anyhow, the trauma.
Third time is the charm.
The trauma. So, so he was like very American as they come from Indiana. And he just didn't understand. God bless him. Sweet as can be. Little did he know I really wanted to marry him so I could get out of the house. But that's a whole nother show. He would just say, well, is your mom going to come live with us? And I would promise him, no, Mom's not going to live with us. This is just because people might see us on the street by ourselves. And then my reputation would be ruined.
Oh my God. It's so funny. You know, parents like think if they're around, then like kids won't be bad and won't do stuff. But to what you just said, we just sneak off. Like we'll find a way to do bad things if we want to do bad things.
But my mom was so sneaky. So I used to work at a bank called Barnett Bank 100 years ago. And I met him because his father owned a service station next door. Well, he would come over to lunch and he would pick me up. And he had an apartment close by. I mean, we would just go have lunch. You know how that is. But you know what my mother would do? My mother would drive to the bank to see if my car was still there.
Let's say she's in the back seat on one of your dates with him, right? If he started kissing you, would she just like smack him in the back of the head? Like, what would happen? Or would he just not kiss you?
Well, he wouldn't kiss me because he would definitely would think that was disrespectful. He was very, I have to say, he was a very respectful gentleman. So he would not. In front of my mother, the most he did was hold my hand. My dad probably would have killed him if he did. So,
yeah. Again, that's another episode. This is not the same, but one time my mom told me the story. She had cigarettes. Her dad used to go through her stuff all the time, like was pretty overprotective, and he found cigarettes in her bag. And my mom said, "They're not mine. They're my friend's." And my grandfather said, "I believe you, but when you come home pregnant, don't tell me you're holding it for a friend." It's like... Great line, God, Grandma. Thank you for calling in and sharing your overprotected mother with us.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for talking to me.
Wait, did you know that story about mom and grandpa?
No, but that's great.
I could see grandpa being super protective, can't you?
Agreed.
Like grandpa, they had three daughters, and he was like, you know, he was a tough cook. Yeah. He was friendly, but not like cuddly. Grandfather.
But like just hearing that call, that's like a total opposite of what you went through growing up. Total opposite.
Oh yeah, my parents did like because you know what I think. Well, you know, like she's like, oh, my parents were nervous. My parents were nervous about like they're getting pregnant, right? Like mom and dad knew no boys were touching me.
Oh no.
Like I didn't know, like they were like that was like not a concern. Like I had like the worst frizzy like hair acne, like drool everywhere, like food stains on my shirt. Like they weren't like, oh, this is our daughter's really getting around. They were just praying one day some man would take me away from them. All right, let's do another call.
Okay, Robin, we have Laura on the line.
Hey, Laura, welcome to Call Waiting.
Hi, Robin. How are you?
I'm good. So today is Overprotective Parents Day. So tell us your story.
So I have an overprotective father, and every time I get a new car, he sticks me in the trunk of the car and tells me to try to get out. That way, if I am ever abducted, I'll know how to escape.
My goodness. Oh my, when did this start?
It started when I got my first car at 17, and it was a 1985 Jetta. And so no bells and whistles. And I was really excited to have the car. He pops the trunk and he goes, "Get in." And every car I've had after that, he's done it. And the only way I've been able to stop it is I started to buy SUVs.
You know why this is giving me anxiety? It's because I'm like putting myself in your position, and I know my dad, and he struggles to open up a trunk. Like, he can't open up his car. Like, he can't open up a pill bottle. Like, he's such a fumbly guy, and I could see him locking me in and then me not being able to get out, and then him forgetting how to open up the trunk to his car. Do you know what I mean? And then him having to call the police on himself and it just being a whole freaking disaster. Oh my God, that's crazy. So now, do you know how to get out of a trunk? Like, did your dad do you right by teaching you this skill?
Yes. Well, so back when cars had no frills, and I got my 1985 car in 1998. So it tells you how old it was.
But
back then it was pitch dark when you would get into a trunk, but now they have new safety features where there's actually a glow in the dark little hatch pull. So my next car, when I got into that, I was so excited to see there was a glow in the dark hatch pull. So I didn't have to figure out where to go to, but if anybody needs to know.
This is a good tip. See, I didn't know that. So now if I ever get locked in a trunk, look for the glowy tip thing.
There's a little latch behind where the license plate would be.
You know, this is turning into an educational show, and I didn't, you know what? Can you thank your dad for all of us for teaching us this? You know, we wouldn't have known this otherwise.
Exactly. I will. I'll let him know.
I mean, I would have been fine going my entire life not knowing this, but I'm glad now to know, God forbid I'm in a trunk. Now we know how to get out as long as it has all the glowy things. That's crazy. Did you get panic attacks when he would do this or no?
No, because I was kind of, I'm the middle child and I was the only one that would really like pay attention and listen when he would do these types of things. So it was just like one of many things that he's taught me how to get out of or do or whatever.
Look, overprotective, yes, but I think he's teaching you life skills. So I accept this one.
Yeah, and I work in defense now, so it all paid off.
So really he was just getting you ready for your life career.
Exactly. His phrase that he always says is head on a swivel. So that's something we're
Is he still alive?
Yes.
Well, tell him Robin said you did a good job, Dan.
I will. He's celebrating his 75th birthday very soon.
Well, and then tell him I also said happy birthday.
I will.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on Call Waiting.
Thank you.
Can I just say one thing?
You can say
and this
more.
Is not a complaint.
Okay.
She did seem much like the listeners didn't hear this, but she did seem a lot more excited to talk to you than she did to me.
Hey, when
she called in, like I heard her go to you, security, I'm so excited to talk to you. And then you were like, I'm so excited to talk to you. And then you're like, I'm going to put you through to Robin. And then she comes in and she's like, okay, so here's the story.
She wanted to get to the chase.
No, I agree. And she's very lovely.
Yes, very nice.
But I did pick up some major excitement. And that's why we're going to do a whole end segment episode. I'm actually excited about
this. I already know the first one.
What?
We're going to put you in the trunk of a car.
I couldn't do that because heights doesn't bother me at all. But small spaces, I'll freak out.
I'd freak out also.
Is that your thing, small spaces? Like if you had one spaces, thing you're scared of.
Heights.
Me?
Rob.
All right, put through the next call.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, Robin, we have Hadass on the phone, and she was on a previous episode, the Thanksgiving episode.
Hi, Hadass.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you again.
Welcome back to Call Waiting.
Thank you.
I remember when I spoke to you last, when we were calling you from your friend was, I think the lie she told you to get you on the phone was that we needed her social security number, right?
Yes, I was totally shocked.
You were a surprise call last time. Yeah. Oh, you're more prepared now. You know, you did so good. The Thanksgiving episode is one of my favorite episodes we've done.
It was wonderful. I loved hearing it.
Okay, so today's episode is about overprotective parents. So what do you have for us?
Okay, this story is from 3 weeks ago because honestly, you can't find a month that I don't have a good story about it. This is about my mom. So 3 weeks ago, my mom had eye surgery a few weeks ago, and I was supposed to drive her in the morning to the doctor, to a doctor's appointment. So she said the night before, she said, you want to come over and sleep over at my place so that you won't have to like drive in the morning. And I said, I'm going out with a friend. It will be too late. All right, I go home to sleep. And at some point, I'm awoken by just this really loud buzzing and banging in the middle of the night. I almost had a heart attack. I open the door. It's my mother. Now, like, what happened? Is it morning? Did I miss the appointment? And so what happened was a really long set of events that I was not aware of because I was asleep like a normal person. This was 2:30 in the morning. My mom thought that I was telling her that I'll come late. And she woke up and I wasn't there. So she called the police to tell them to go figure out if I'm alive and where am I. And then she also called my brother, and my brother came over to her place, drove her to my place, and she woke me, and then he had to drive her back. Now, the funny story is that my brother lives just next to me, and so I was like, but why didn't you come? Like, why
The police come into your home?
Okay, so the police is probably still looking for me because we never heard from them. I'm still at large.
Oh, no. Can you imagine this is the podcast that breaks their missing person case? Like, we found her.
I know. They will have to, like, move my case from...
Your posters all over the police station and then the missing person, and then they hear this podcast like, we found her. Oh my gosh. Yeah, why didn't your brother just come over to see?
So I didn't even understand what was going on. My mother just saw me and then left. I was like, what's happening?
Oh my goodness.
I called my brother. I was like, what's happening? I don't understand. And he started explaining it to me, and I was like, wait. And he was so pissed off because this was the middle of the night, and he was so angry. And I was like, but why didn't you come? And he said, I was too embarrassed. Like, I couldn't do it. I couldn't come to your house and wake you up. It was too embarrassing for me. I didn't want to be a part of it. I preferred to spend an hour and a half on the road and not to wake you up.
No, this is definitely also because, like, I'm thinking about, like, my relationship with my brothers, and they know if they dare wake me up, they would have to deal with the raft of Robin. So I think he's probably just like, you know what? I'd rather just be on the road than deal with waking a woman up, because that's, I know.
That's exactly my brother's calculation, apparently.
Oh, like, my God. That's so funny. That's so funny. Well, I'm glad we solved the case.
Yes,
case closed.
I'm here.
She's here. Please stand down.
I have to say, my mother waking me up in the middle of the night in crazy situations is just a recurring thing because she always thinks I'm dead, basically.
You know what? I think that's just like a neurotic mother thing. I feel like my mom's security, whenever he speaks to my mom, starts the conversation with, everything's okay. Like, and I once asked him, I said, why do you always start a conversation with mom then? And he goes, oh, because mom's always nervous when I call her that something's wrong. So he has to go, everything's okay. And I'm like, oh my God. But I think that's just like, you know, like a Jewish mother, just the anxiety and nerves, you know.
Mine is definitely a Jewish mother too, so that's how it goes.
No, it's in our blood. It's in the DNA. I'm going to be like that. I don't have an animal, but I once had a fish, and oh, did I check on it a lot? But unfortunately, it died, so I didn't do a good job. Well, thank you so much for coming on for the second time, even though I know this is the first time you knew you were coming on. All right. Good talk to you. Hopefully, we'll speak again soon.
Love the show.
Bye. Right, don't you have to call mom?
Everything's okay. Hey, how you doing? Like, that's
does she still want you to do that after all these years?
Yeah, because if I just start the conversation with, hey mom, what's wrong? that's how the conversation would start. So it's, hey, everything, I call, I say, hey mom, everything's okay. So I need, you know, whatever.
Yeah. No, and it's funny because if I don't hear from you, if I text you and like I don't hear from you for a day, I'll think something's wrong.
Yeah.
How long does it have to be when you text me and I don't respond that you'll call the police?
Wait, after I celebrate?
No, really.
No, a day.
A day?
A day.
Wait, you'd go that long?
Well, no, you're right. Maybe like 12
hours?
Yeah. And if if mom calls me at like 8 something and saying, hey, have you spoken to Robin? I'm like, okay, I think the Bachelor or Real Housewives on. I'm not going to call.
Like at night?
You know, the whole thing about you sleeping, I won't even interrupt you.
If there's a good show
on. If it's like prime time, I won't interrupt you.
I'm more about like sleep. Like, I just don't want to be woken up for something stupid.
are you alive?
What stinks, you stupid? Well, this is not funny. This is an inside joke that I feel like is going to go over everyone's head, right? Well, now I have to tell it.
Or we can edit it out. And no one will ever know that this exists.
Okay. We were on the road. I forgot what's, I think we're in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And me, security, and my mom were playing charades. And my mom was did what was her movie?
Barbie.
Barbie.
The Barbie movie.
And she was trying to do B and like, you know, and we just weren't getting what she was acting out. And she was trying to act out like a bee that stings you so she could do Barbie. And we just weren't getting it. And eventually she just yells at us. She goes, "What stings you, stupid?" And I, first off, she's never called us stupid before.
Never.
And it was so violent.
"What stings you, stupid?"
I told you, it's not funny. It's just hearing her call us stupid with her Brooklyn accent was just gold. Should we edit this story out? Let's keep it. Is anyone still listening to this podcast? Are you there? All right, should we put through another call?
Okay. Okay, Robin, we have Robin on the line.
Hi, Robin. You have such a beautiful name.
Hi, Robin. You know what? I love your Y. I've wanted a Y in my name. I might have to change
it. Are you an I?
I'm an I, and it's all good. Yeah. There were really no other Robins when I was growing up, but, you know, most of them are like Batman and Robin. You find a pun that anyway.
See, and that's why I always wanted to be I, because I only, everyone else was I, and I thought my parents misspelled my name. And I'm like, excuse me, I already have so many learning disabilities. Now you have to throw in harder letters. But anyway, beautiful, beautiful name. So tell us, speaking of parents, today is Overprotective Parents Day. So tell us your story.
So my story takes place in the fabulous 80s. Just to put a little disclaimer, in my lifetime, those were not the most protective parent days. Because we didn't have cell phones or texting or, you know, find my location,
or
find
internet,
my
like, yeah.
Internet, nothing. No one could look up who you were with, right? So I was in high school. And my two best friends, girlfriends, the one had a boyfriend who was 18 years old. I mean, that was a big deal. We were sophomores, and he and his friends got us tickets to go see AC/DC in San Francisco. I grew up north of San Francisco in this small little town across the Golden Gate Bridge. And so, of course, we probably made some fib up to our parents that we were, you know, going to a friend's house, whatever. But they were going to sleep over at my house after the concert that night. So we drove to the concert, literally across the Golden Gate Bridge. This boy, this older boy, we were not old enough to drive yet. Had, I don't know if you know what a Chevy El Camino was at the time. If you've seen that car, it's like a pickup truck, but with just a front seat. And then the back is a truck bed. And so, of course, no seatbelts back then. The truck bed had like a cover on it. So we literally like had to lay down in the back to drive, you know, all the way to the concert, which was over an hour away. My girlfriends were going to be spending the night, and we had a curfew. I was supposed to be home, I think, by midnight. I don't remember. And so we got back, made it to the concert safe, made it back safely. But these boys had gotten beer. And so I lived in a very rural area, and they wanted to stop at the end of my dirt road before they dropped me off and actually drink a beer. And so I was like, okay, cool, whatever. And so we were just hanging out, and they were about to drive me home up the road, but down the road comes this car, and it was a dirt road, you know, so you couldn't really escape. And down the road comes this car, and it was my dad.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dun, 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 like the Jaws music, right? And my mom had been nagging him so much, probably saying, we need you to call the hospitals, whatever, because I was late. And I was the kind of kid who was like, well, if I'm late, I'm really going to be late. Okay, I wasn't really a perfect child, but that's okay. It turned out okay. And so anyway, my dad gets out of the car. My dad was a big man, and he says, "Well, hello, boys," in his deep voice. "What's going on here?" And of course, they had like were trying to hold their beers behind their backs. And I'll never forget, my dad puts his foot up on the bumper of their car and lights a cigarette. And he says, "I see there's some drinking going on here. How about we go back up to the house and have a conversation about it?" Dun, dun, dun. Right. And again, this is 80s overprotective. But anyway, so my girlfriends and I, my two girlfriends, like, we get in my car with my dad, in the car with my dad, and he's going to drive us back up the road to my house. And all of a sudden we hear, and they took off. And my girlfriends and I were so relieved. We're like, oh, good God. Because it was going to be like an interrogation back up at my house. So the funny part of the story is, aside from the fact that later my dad told me, he knew, he's like, I knew they were going to do that. You know, they weren't going to see, you know, face the fire back up at the house. He's like, and frankly, I was glad that they did that because I got to go to bed. But anyway, the funny part of the story is they took off. They went down the road, and it was a curvy road out in the boonies. They crashed into a fence, and they were so scared. My dad was coming after them the whole time. And of course, we didn't know. I guess they took off at that point then as well, left the fence broken. They went back. They were good boys. They got up early and went the next morning and fixed the fence. And they said the whole time, and I didn't find this out until, you know, the next day at high school, they're like, we were so scared. We thought your dad was going to come after us with a gun. And to this day, they still talk about how that was the scariest night of their life because my dad, you know, puts his foot up on the bumper. All right, boys, what's going on here?
Do you know the whole time you were talking about it, I just in my head just pictured him with this huge like rifle, like, you know, like in like the old like Westerns. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. I don't know if rifle's the right gun. I don't know guns. But do you know what I mean? Like those big guns and like...
Totally,
yeah, I saw
totally.
Him with a cowboy hat and like oh, yeah. not even a cigarette. The you know what is it called? Like a weed? Do you know? Not weed like you oh. smoke. A tumbleweed yeah. thing? Is that
yes,
what it's called?
The
That's how I picture your dad. Yeah. Oh my God.
But
dad's
so like
best.
Lesson learned. These poor boys got the bejesus scared out of them, right?
Yeah.
And my dad thought it was hilarious. And he's like, I just wanted to go back to bed, damn it, you know, but anyway. So, and that was an 80s overprotective parent, right?
in a Western movie. We've turned
in
it into
movie
a Western
after
movie.
After the AC/DC concert.
Yes, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for calling and coming on Call Waiting.
Thank you, Robin. I love you. And thank you, security. I hope you guys have a great day. You're the best.
You too. Bye.
Can you imagine dad doing that?
No. I mean, you know what? Dad would be like, because, you know, he loves talking to people he doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. So where are you guys looking at college? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Are you looking at state schools or what's your 5-year plan? You know, you guys really aren't thinking like, I don't think he would yell.
They're gone.
Like, I don't see him yelling at them as much as like asking them a lot of questions
about their future.
Yeah. And I that being enough for them to go away and never wanting to talk to me.
Crash into the fence.
Yeah. All right. Let's put it through another call.
Thunderpants.
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah. So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good. Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right, Robin, we have Susie on the line.
Hi, Susie. Welcome to Call Waiting.
Robin, how are you?
I'm good. So today we're talking about overprotective parents. So what do you got for us?
Okay, so my dad was really overprotective when I was growing up, and he would not let me sleep over at anybody's house. But it's not for the obvious reasons like people do these days, that he wasn't worried about abuse. He was worried that if the house caught fire... the parents would grab their children and not me.
Wait, to grab their own kids? Is that what you just said? It cut out.
Yes. They would grab their own kids and they would
Okay, honestly, he's right, though.
Yes,
like,
he's not wrong.
No, because I'm trying to think like, yeah, most parents, like if their kid is falling off a cliff or some other kid, they're going to save their own kid.
But he's not wrong. So this is what he would do. So he would say, okay, well, you can invite them to our house. I'm like, well, Dad, you're going to grab me and my brother. And he's like, well, yeah, but that's what the rope's for. They can't. Yeah, a rope ladder.
Oh, my gosh. That's great.
So
was he really nervous about fires? I feel like a rope's pretty flammable. Maybe he really didn't care about the other kids. He's proven his own point.
He did.
I feel like a rope is the last thing you want when when a house is on fire, you know?
It's flammable. Right.
Security.
No, I'm not wrong, right? We were up so late, like editing. Okay. I don't know. It's just, I have this whole visual of just like a house on fire and your dad telling the kids, go down that road. Oh my goodness.
And as the rope is like in flames, you know.
Yeah. Like if the rope's on fire, he's like, that's your way out, little Debbie. You go that way. I'm going to take Susie down the stairs where there's no fire.
And see, the parents shouldn't have let him stay over.
No, you know what? I'm team dad on this one. Don't trust your kids at other people's houses. Not for the reasons you think. Right. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Susie, thank you so much for calling in and making us laugh so hard. I know that wasn't your goal, but you did it.
Oh no, it is funny. It cracks me up too. So thank you, Robin, for everything.
Well, thank you for coming on Call Waiting. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Oh my gosh.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why we found that so funny. You know what? I said it and then I looked over at you and you were doing like a silent laugh because I know you sometimes try not to like laugh in the middle of my conversation. But I just saw you not breathe, like your face was turning red. Oh my gosh. See, that again reminds me of grandpa. Like yeah. I could see mom's dad doing that.
Yes.
Like having a rope in case of a fire.
Doused in kerosene.
Yeah. Oh my god. All right, let's do one more call.
Okay. All right, Robin, we have Laura on the line.
Hi, Laura. Welcome to Call Waiting.
Hi, Robin. It's so good to hear you.
This is exciting. So tell us, what is your overprotective story?
So yeah, so I'm almost 30 now, and up until the age of 21, my dad always stalked me everywhere I went. He never trusted me because he thought I was a bad kid, even though I never really gave him a reason to believe that. But no matter what I did, you know, I was just never good enough for him. So anyways, when I was around the age of like 19, I had the secret boyfriend who my dad thought was a friend, and he didn't like him as a friend. So one day, I said I was spending the night at a friend's house, and he had the inclination to stalk me per usual and ended up following me to his house. I didn't know that he had followed me. So I went inside and everything like normal, and I guess my dad just drove away. But he did see that my car was parked at his house. That night, my boyfriend and I went to a birthday party. And stayed out late, and we came back to his house and I spent the night. And then in the morning, when I was getting ready to leave his house, I went outside to my car and noticed that my car had been keyed all over the front driver's side of the door. And I had a gut feeling that it was my dad that did it. So I called him and asked him if he was the one that keyed my car. And he said yes, because I didn't obey him when he had told me before to stay away from this guy. I decided to then threaten my dad in a sense by telling him that I was going to call the cops and report him. But I only said that because I knew he was like terrified of the cops. I never actually called the cops, but I didn't speak to my dad for a long time after that.
Yeah, that's insane. Did he have like a behavior of doing like things like stepping over the line like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like that was just my youth, was him stalking me everywhere I went, unfortunately.
Oh my gosh. Do you talk to him now?
Yeah, I do. I mean, that was like a long time ago. So, you know, you just kind of try to keep things civil because, you know, family, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, I do talk to him now.
I know. It's so insane. Like, because, you know, sometimes you're like, when it's a friend or a coworker, it's so easy to be like, you know, that's crazy. I'm never talking to you again. But when it's a parent or a sibling right. or a relative, it's like, you want to keep the peace. You want to, you know, find a way to keep them. But I mean, that's crazy.
It was. Yeah. I never imagined. Like, can you imagine a parent keying your car? Like, that's like out of the world. Like,
No. Are you still with that? Are you still with that guy?
Oh no, absolutely not. He was a jerk.
But that's not the point. Dang, yeah, not leave the point. Us alone. Exactly.
You may have been right around about that guy.
It was actually the guy that keyed your car and you blamed your dad on this whole time.
Oh my God, can you imagine?
Right? Like, it was actually the guy who was like an awful person. He's like, I'm going to drive a wedge between her and her father. I'm going to go key your car. And then I'm sure it's not the case. I'm clearly just like making stuff up for a Lifetime movie, you know, right. But you know, that would be a good, actually would be a good movie. And then you didn't talk to your dad for 20 years. And then it turned out right. on his deathbed, he said, I didn't key your car, you know, but anyway. Anyway, I'll sell it to Lifetime one day. Well, funny. Thank you for coming on Call Waiting and Share. This is wild, but I hope now you keep all good, healthy relationships in your life because you deserve it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And thank you for everything you do. I love watching your Instagram stories. They really make me happy.
Thank you. And thank you for being around and supporting me. All right. All happiness to you. Thank you so much for coming on Call Waiting.
Thank you so much.
You know what? This whole episode made me realize about Robin and Security.
What?
We can't listen to anything without making it a movie in our head.
Yeah.
Like, so one person telling us about her dad and the bike. Like, one story literally had about kids driving with drinking, and all I was thinking was a Western movie, you mm-hmm. know? Or this girl saying how her dad keyed the car, and all I was thinking, Lifetime movie.
Like, and we got a slapstick comedy with the roped fire. Oh yeah.
Like, fire and saving children. All we're thinking about is a rom-com. I don't know why that's a rom-com, but like a slapstick comedy. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know if something tragic happens or bad happens, the first thing we think of is
how can
movie.
We make it into a movie?
Yeah. Do you think it's because we really should be in better therapy? We don't know how to process trauma. We just think of it as it's fake.
It's like,
don't let your brain feel real emotion. But you know what? I think that's why people appreciate us.
Mm-hmm.
We don't dive deep.
Nope.
We keep it real at the surface.
Yes.
All right. Well, oh no, you're in segment. Oh no.
And I did research on this one.
Oh great. All right, let's do. Well, thank you everyone for calling in. Now we're going to do Security's end segment.
All right, so Robin, this is all about parents this episode, correct?
Correct.
So what I did was I interviewed our parents to find out facts about them that you wouldn't know.
Wait, and this is facts about our parents?
Our parents. I'm going to say a fact, and you got to tell me, is it mom or dad?
Okay, do you think this is Mama Scholl going to be universally interesting? Like, will followers or listeners, like, care?
Maybe they'll make it into a movie.
Okay. A silent film. With no subtitles. You know, like in the black and white films, like back in the day, uh-huh. it was just like just music. Mm-hmm. I hope that's this segment.
With my mouth moving and no one hearing what I'm saying.
Okay, go.
All right, so this parent of ours is allergic to strawberries.
I have to get... I know it's mom and it's not strawberries, it's apples.
No, it's strawberries also.
No, it's apples.
It's strawberries.
Okay, next.
Put her on the phone.
Let's keep this segment moving. We don't have to extend it any longer.
Okay. So this parent graduated college first.
Okay. Well, dad's older, but mom is smarter. I'm going to go mom.
Correct. Mom did. Okay, here's another one. Okay,
guys, I'm so sorry.
No. Okay, this is really about you.
Okay,
your middle name,
yeah,
is the first letter is because of this parent's
wait,
grandfather.
Say that again. What?
Your middle name, Hope.
Wait, yeah.
The H is from
this
parent's grandfather.
I don't know.
Dad's grandfather.
Yeah.
Started with an H, and that's why you're.
What's his name?
Herman.
Oh, okay. Oh my God. How many more do we have to do?
Seven. Oh, okay. No.
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 Okay.
Okay, this parent.
You even know this is a bad game.
This is a great
Do you know when end segment's flopping
Yes, I do.
You texted me what?
That this is a great end segment.
No,
today.
I know, but like, so how do you think the segment's going?
Wait, I have one more.
Okay.
Okay. This parent of ours is the one that came up with the Y in your name.
A mom.
Yes. Was actually convinced that it was I.
Yeah, I know. He wrote it I on the birth certificate and mom had to change it.
Oh, you know this.
Yes. Okay. Because people sometimes think I'm too hard on you. So okay. I just want you to rate how you think this end segment was. Honestly. 100. No, don't give it. Don't try to be funny. How do you think?
So this way, don't people, put it on me. Yeah.
No, because people think I'm too harsh on you. I just want to know how would you rate this performance?
I think, okay. Yeah. Okay, staying on topic of the thing, okay, I'd give it a 6.
A 6? Okay. You're very good self-esteem. No, it was good. I mean, I wouldn't, okay. Anyway, first off, I just want to thank everyone for calling in. If you ever want to know the topic, just follow me on Instagram or TikTok at Robin Shaw Comic, because that's where I say the topic every week, because I love hearing from you guys and want you to call in. Again, if you would like to see me live on tour, head over to robinshaw.com to find the cities, dates, and times, and to buy your tickets. And security, I give you a 6 too.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, guys. Oh, we have another call. Call Waiting is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Picot. Editing by Basilio Perez and Jorge Morales Picot. Guest booking by Allie Freelander. Be sure to follow me at Robin Shaw Comic on Instagram and TikTok to find out our next topic and learn when to call each week. And give me a ring at 720-72-ROBIN. That's 720-727-6296.
Betches.